Hello everyone, welcome back to Holding Fast to Faith. I'm your host Brett Hill, and today we got a great message coming out of the book of Matthew chapter 2. And the title of the message today is How Did They Know? We're going to talk about the Magi, those people that came from the east to come see Jesus and worship the newborn king. So the title is How Did They Know? If you don't have your Bible, pause the podcast, run back, get your Bible, come back and join us. Matthew chapter 2, we're going to read two verses, just verse 1 and 2. I'm in the King James Version today. So starting here with verse number 1, it says, Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was coming to a king and knew who that king was and knew the reputation of Herod the king and as they called him, Herod the Great, the Romans put him there. He was not a Jew. He was not a man that loved the Jews. He was placed there. He was evil. He was killing his own family to keep his own family from trying to take his throne and trying to supersede over him. And so these Magi, they come from the east and they step up to him and say, where is the king born? Where is the child that's born king of the Jews? We already have a problem here because Herod is threatened by a baby. But when meditating on this message and looking at this message throughout the week, the question arose in my spirit, how did they know? And I want to talk to you today a little bit about how they knew that this baby was Jesus, born king of the Jews through the scriptures. Now, the first to understand these people, you have to go back into the scriptures and go back into the cultures of those times, and you have to go to the Middle East, and you got to look at a whole lot of places in history. And I know 25 or 30 minutes is not enough time to try to tell you all of that, but I'm hoping that I can give you enough information to help you see where it all come from and how they knew that this Jesus was the Savior, the Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us, that was prophesied. And so you have to go back to the book of Daniel some to find this out, to figure some of this out. But I want to talk about these Magi just a minute, because they were they were a group of people, and we've got groups of people all around the world, various big clubs. And here in the United States, there's the National Rifles Association. There's the several different organizations like the Shriners and things like that. Really great, big, huge organizations that have plenty of people that's been around for long, long, long periods of time. And these wise men, Strong's G3097 is the Greek word magos or magos. It's where we get the word magi from, magi. And it's the meaning of that word was given to us from the Medes and the Persians, the Babylonians and the Chaldeans. And it means to be a teacher, a priest, physicians, astrologers, seers, interpreters of dreams, and even sorcerers. They studied astrology. They studied medical science. They studied incantations and all kinds of things that would just, they were out for education. They were looking for wisdom and wanted every bit of wisdom that they could soak up and find if there was any information to be found and to be pulled into their own minds and into their organization. This group of people was notorious for finding that information and making sure it got into the group. Now, even with this information, the interpretation of scriptures, we still don't know how they knew, but I want to share with you a little bit out of the scripture because of the way that these guys sought out scriptures and sought out information. They actually went to the Hebrew Bible, and I'm going to show you where they got their hands on it. Because if you remember back when Jeremiah prophesied to Jerusalem, and you can go back to the book of Jeremiah and read this. He prophesied. He actually got thrown in jail for telling what God told him to tell, but he prophesied that the Jews would go into exile, go into captivity under Babylon because of failing to follow God and turning their back on God. And so he prophesied that for 70 years they would be in exile, and their own king locked them up because of prophesying this. And even after they got locked up, God spoke to the Babylonian king and told him, look, lock everybody else up, but you need to go let this dude loose. Told him to come to the prison and let Jeremiah loose. So all of that can be found in the book of Jeremiah if you want to look that up and read it. But if you remember, three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and those are their pagan names that was given to them by the Babylonian king, but they were Jewish, they were Hebrew teenagers that were went into captivity, that were picked out. And they, you know, if you know the story, they refused to bow down. They refused to worship the Babylonian king. They didn't want to take any part in it. And they even said that God, that our God will deliver us. And even if our God don't deliver us, we still won't bow down to you. They were thrown in a fiery furnace. And then the king looked in and said, I see four men. I thought we throwed in three. If y'all remember that story, the Babylonian king even said one of them looks like the Son of God. They came out and didn't even have the smell of smoke on them. You also remember a man by the name of Daniel, that he was placed high like a governor over all of those people who were advisors to the king in Babylon because of his great wisdom. And we remember Joseph in Egypt was placed in the same type of position. So we got Daniel here that is in this position. But Daniel was thrown in the lion's den, and he was because the people that come second in command to him, these folks got jealous of Daniel's position, so they talked Nebuchadnezzar into saying, let's pass an edict that if anybody don't worship you and they worship any kind of other god or anything like that, that they'll be thrown in the lion's den. And so just as soon as Daniel heard this, and I'm trying to rush through this really quick so I can get to the key points, but the highlights of this in the book of Daniel is when Daniel heard of this edict, he ran up and threw his windows open toward Israel, toward Jerusalem, and began to pray again, just like he always did. They found out that he was praying to a different god. They threw him in the lion's den. God put his hand on him, protected him from the lions all night long. The king was scared to death that his good friend Daniel was going to die, that he had been tricked into throwing Daniel into there, and he didn't want Daniel to die. The Bible even says that that king fasted all night long, and he's just as soon as the break of day come along, he ran up and he said, oh, Daniel, please let me know that your God has preserved you, he's protected you, that you've been done no harm. And the first words that come out of Daniel's mouth was, may the king live forever, I'm fine. And so then the king got the guys that tricked him into writing that edict and throw them into the lion's den and all of their family. He wiped out their bloodline for tricking him like that. And so he placed Daniel at the top of the list, just like Joseph was under Pharaoh. He made Daniel so important. But one of the biggest statements he made was, let it be known throughout my entire kingdom that everyone should worship the God of Daniel. If you go back and read that, so the king, a Babylonian king, made this proclamation to the whole world that everybody should worship the king of Daniel and told the story. And so now the secret society that we talked about just a few minutes ago, they get hold of this information. They're like, what a man. He's telling them that we need to worship that Hebrews God. So we need to find out about this guy, right? So now they start getting hold of the information. They start getting all of this knowledge. And sure, Daniel probably had a library and books because he wanted all the Hebrew people to not forget where they come from. So he made all the scriptures available. And so this secret group of people, the Magi, these wise men, as they say, they were a great big organization that grabbed information everywhere. They get hold of the Hebrew Bible. They go back and they read in Genesis where God had put the stars in the sky for light by night, but also, as the scripture says, to be signs to you for times and important events that come to pass so that you will know what they are. And they pick that up and they go back and they look in the Old Testament where it says that there will be a star rise up out of Jacob. And they go back into Micah and they read all of these scriptures that says, you Bethlehem, being the least of all these, the Messiah is going to come through you, and all these other scriptures. There's 11 times in the Old Testament that there is scripture prophesied that points toward the birth of Christ. They got their hands on all of that. They got their hands on everything. But now in Daniel chapter 9, a very, very well-known angel, Gabriel, comes to Daniel. Now, we look in the book of Matthew and the book of Luke, and we look all over the New Testament where we see where Gabriel comes to the virgin girl Mary and tells her that she's going to conceive a son and he's going to be born the Son of God. The angel also comes to Joseph, her espoused husband, and tells him, don't be afraid to marry the woman because the child in her is from the Holy Ghost. He comes again. He comes to the Magi, the wise men. He comes to the shepherds out in the field. He comes to Joseph again and says that the king's coming to kill the baby. Take the child to Egypt and flee. The same angel that tells all these messages to everybody in the New Testament, he shows up here in Daniel and starts telling Daniel, I've got some things I'm going to show you, some things that's going to come to pass. And he says, I want you to write these things down. And then the angel Gabriel starts giving these prophecies in sevens and 70 times seven and seven times seven. He's talking about weeks and things like that. And so it was kind of an encrypted message, kind of like we encrypt phone calls and encrypt data on the internet and things like that. And so jumping back to these Magi, they're right here in the same time that he's getting this information, he's writing it down and he's making it part of the scripture, they're getting hold of this information. They read these stories that Daniel has produced over all these times. And you remember there's a 400-year span between the last book of the Old Testament and the birth of Christ when Matthew starts writing about him. But during that 400-year span, this secret society, this group of people are still studying scriptures and still studying things all over the world, studying sorcery, studying the stars and astrology and studying healthcare. And so everything that they could get their minds wrapped around, they're studying these scriptures and they notice these scriptures. And so before I pull you all the way up into that 400-year time period, let's back up to right there when Daniel was speaking. And so you've got a man by the name Nehemiah. He goes and he asks to go back and rebuild the walls and rebuild the city of Jerusalem. And the king gives him an edict, sends him the force to the help in the forest and all that, and gives him military envoys to go with him to rebuild the city. And these wise men, they see that. And it was prophesied by the angel when the angel was talking to Daniel that it would take seven sevens. And that would be 7 weeks. And that's, they found out, they're like, hey, wait a minute, they're going to rebuild the whole city and rebuild the walls and everything in 7 weeks. But they saw that when Nehemiah started rebuilding the walls and rebuilding the city, that was 444 BC. They're like, okay, we've got a timeline, right? Or not, yeah, 444 BC. They say, we've got a timeline here that we can start. We can look at that and let's keep our eyes on this date right here and let's keep our eyes on this prophecy. And we're going to try to decrypt this thing and find out what this supposedly angel told Daniel. Because they've already found out, they've looked at Joshua's scriptures and found out, well, Joshua was telling the truth because they went into exile, and here they've been in exile for 70 years now, and then this dude's going back to rebuild the city. It looks like they're moving out. Well, the scriptures show that exactly 70 or 49 years later, that Nehemiah's job was finished, the city was rebuilt, the walls were rebuilt, and people started going back in. So they, hey, look, that was 49 years. So this week actually means a group of 7 years. So we figured out the encryption. So these wise men, they're looking at this and they're going, hey, so now we've got the encryption, we got the secret code to these prophecies and everything, and they got to reading them and studying, and these 70 times sevens and stuff like that. They saw one where it said in one of those where the Messiah would be cut off. And it ran the timeline all the way up to 33 AD where Jesus was killed and crucified on the cross of Calvary. So they saw that prophecy. And so they saw other prophecies, and throughout the Bible, they're putting all this together. And I know I'm telling you this stuff really quick, but I'm trying to give you enough information to understand that these guys studied the Jewish, the Hebrew scriptures and all the prophecies of the Bible. Why? And they're pagans, they're sorcerers, they're people that's not necessarily going to worship God and follow God and follow these scriptures and have only one God before Him. I'm sure they memorized the Ten Commandments, and they saw all kinds of miracles that took place. They probably memorized all the plagues that fell in Egypt. They heard the stories from everybody else over the time periods. But these guys had all the information from Scripture. They had the prophecy from the angel Gabriel that Daniel wrote down right there in the time where they were in Babylon. They saw the time period of when the city was rebuilt, the 49 years. They decrypted the messages from Gabriel, and they knew a good period of time that they would be able to interpret over all those years. And every generation of these wise men that came up to the birth of Christ, they started seeing the star. They saw the star appearing. They remembered the scriptures. They remembered the prophecies, and they remembered all the things that was told about a child that was going to be born. They remembered scriptures that Isaiah had said about a king would be born, about a child born in a manger. Now, these scriptures and these prophecies, and then seeing this star pop up in the sky, had told these guys enough information. It had given them such a move in their heart, in their emotions, in their desire to learn more, in their desire to see that thing followed out. We've done seen the Hebrew scriptures come to pass many a times. There's something happening, and that star is playing a big role in it, according to many scriptures in their Old Testament. So we need to go and find out if this truly is that star. We need to go looking for this child that's going to be born, because this is supposed to be it. This is supposed to be the king of everything, not just the king of one country. This Bible, these scriptures that we are reading, says that whoever this baby is that is being born is going to be the king of everything, the king of the world, the Messiah that saves everybody. We've got to go take a look. Now, they get so intrigued by this that they turn out on a journey. Now, I know there's so many people that we set up the nativity scenes and we see three wise men. We call them three kings. We call them magi. And they say because of the gold, frankincense, and myrrh, the three gifts, that there must have been three guys. But listen, these people had a huge entourage. They probably even had some military support behind them, but running into bandits and things like that on the road, because they carried treasures with them and things like that for their journey. They had to stop and set up camps. They had to buy food because they traveled everywhere all the time studying and seeking knowledge. So they had valuables with them that could be robbed, so they carried protection with them as well. So there had to be this great big envoy of people traveling, and as they traveled, our scripture today says, we came from the east, we saw his star, we're looking for that king, and they show up in Jerusalem, and they go to Herod's castle, thinking, surely to goodness, this guy has read his own scriptures. This guy knows the prophecies that are taking place right now. Surely he's seen the star. Surely he knows. But see, he was not a Jew. He was set there by Romans. The Romans were in control of the region. Herod had no clue. So Herod kind of puts things on pause a little bit and goes back there and talks to his sorcerers and his historic people that advise him, and they come out with the scriptures and all this stuff and say, yeah, there's supposed to be someone born king of the Jews. And so Herod comes back out, kind of concealing his sarcasm and kind of concealing his idea. And he says, hey, look, tell me when you find him, go show me where he's at, lead me to him so that I can worship him too. But Herod didn't want to worship anybody else. He was placed king over this area, and he would probably just kill that baby, is what the scripture says he tried to do. But anyway, if you remember the story in Luke, when you look in Luke chapter 2, and it says, in those days, there was a decree came down, and a census was taken. And so, with this census was taken, there was a record of every man, every woman, every child, every household. The census was taken to find out where everybody was, where they were from, what their lineage was, how many people was in their household and how much they was worth and all this stuff. The census was taken so that the Romans could tax them. So they had a really good record of where Mary and Joseph was. And so now these wise men, the Magi, this group of people, they know that there's a census. So there's already a document that can take them right to the right household of where he's at. So as they start traveling from Jerusalem, from Herod's castle, and starting toward Bethlehem, they already had the scripture to know that it's in Bethlehem. They just went to the king first to find out if the king knew exactly where. But now they can get their hands on the census. They can pay Roman guards to tell us to give us a copy of the census, whatever. They're good at getting information is what I'm saying. And they've already known every scripture. They've probably memorized every scripture. So here they come. They follow the star. They've got the census. They can go right to a house. Now, our scripture today tells us that when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod, behold, there came wise men from the east. Another scripture says that when the wise men went into the house, notice these wise men, they're not at the stable anymore. The baby's no longer in a manger. It says they came up to the child and the child's mother and Joseph, and so they went into a house. And so there's been a lot of time passed by since they started out on their journey. Jesus is no longer a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes like our nativity scenes tell us. He is now a child, probably a year and a half old, something like that maybe. We don't know exactly how old, but he's now in a house. He's grown up a little bit, not a whole lot, but he's called a child and not an infant, a babe anymore. So time has passed by. It's took a lot of time for these guys to travel from the east. I mean, if they're from way over in Asia somewhere, way over in Babylon somewhere, as they start walking and this big entourage of theirs is traveling, it took a long time. They saw the star, the same star that the shepherds saw the same night that Jesus was born. And there's a whole lot of miles between them. There's a lot, many, many, many days journey between them to try to travel to get there and to start looking for the child and taking all their documentation and all that stuff, preparing for the journey, getting everything together and getting so many people together for the journey. It took some time. So what I'm saying is, when they showed up, Jesus is no longer lying in a manger and they're no longer in a stable. They show up at a house, and when they get there, they begin to bow down and worship this baby. They present gifts, and when they present the first gift of gold, gold is a gift that shows the intention of setting a king. These magi, these wise men, they were notorious for going around and setting up kings. Finding kings, hearing prophecies, seeing prophecies being fulfilled. And you can kind of see this as an inauguration. So they show up and they go through kind of like a ceremonial process, and they present the gold that represents the power of a king and the majesty of a king. And it also is giving funding to the family to raise that child and not have that child in poverty. They bring frankincense, which is kind of an anointing, something that you anoint, that you give to a new king, and you set a new king up and present him with the throne. And the myrrh is an oil, it's an ointment that is used for burial. So it's he was going to be cut off as well. And they saw that scripture from the book of Daniel saying that at this particular time, this 70 times 70s they were talking about, that he would be cut off. And that's showing that he would be crucified, that he would be killed for mankind. And so they presented the gifts to make him king, to anoint him as king, and to anoint him with ointments and incense for his burial. So they at this inauguration of this child, these magi knew the history. They knew the future of this child, and they were worshiping him. They knew that this had to be the child. They knew that this was the person, the one that was going to be the king of everything, not just the king of the Jews. So they had presented him, and again, Let me show you. The same angel Gabriel showed up to these guys as well and said, hey, the king, Herod, means to kill this child. Don't go back by the way of Herod and tell him where this child is. Y'all find some other path back to your homeland, because Herod intends to kill him. And later on we see that Herod came through and killed every male child under the age of 2 years old trying to find Jesus and destroy him. But Gabriel came again to Joseph and said, hey, take the child and his mother and head into Egypt. Now, I don't want to go through all those scriptures and tell you every little detail about Jesus. What I want to give you right here is, how did they know? They had enough information throughout the history of scriptures. They saw the star. They read the prophecies. They saw prophecies, and these are pagans, church. I just want you to understand, these are pagan people. They were not Christians. They did not worship Yahweh. They were not Hebrew people that followed the one God only. But these were people that, through studying and seeking out Jesus Christ through the scriptures, they found scriptures to be true. They found Jesus because they followed scripture. I just tell you, I wish that the church today would seek Jesus enough that they would study the scriptures, that they would be seeking him, trying to get close to him and know that the scriptures were true. And the scriptures will point you toward Jesus. Jesus even told the Pharisees that you, in the scriptures, you search them because you think that you have eternal life, but they are they that testify me. Moses was talking about me when he wrote his scriptures. I wish the church today would find the zeal that would have the same audacity to dig into the scriptures like these pagan men did, these men that were seeking out wisdom, and they could not be satisfied until they fell down on their knees and presented their worship to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, laying there in that house in front of his mother and father. You need to understand, church, that if you are looking for a reason, if you are not a Christian today, if you've been studying and you've been thinking and you've been trying to find your way through Buddha and Muhammad and Confucius and all these other things, you cannot have to look any further, because the scriptures have been proven time and time again by pagans, by the best people that searched out knowledge trying to disprove the Bible. While they were trying to disprove it, they proved it. And this group society, over thousands of years of digging into information, finding information, studying, they found that not one jot or tittle of the Bible had not been true, that everything pointed them toward one person and one person only, and that is Jesus Christ and him crucified. They found Jesus Christ. They found the King. The stars had pointed, just like in the book of Genesis in the beginning, said, I'll put signs in the heavens for you to find these important events. The star rose up out of Jacob, just like the Old Testament said, and just like Isaiah said that the child would be born, just like Micah said it would be in Bethlehem, and everything was put into the scripture to point you toward Jesus Christ. So if you are looking, look no further. Dig in the Bible. Search the scripture. 2 Timothy 2:15 says to study the scripture to show yourself approved. If you will look into the scriptures, you will find out that there's only one God. There's only one Savior. There's only one Messiah. There's only one Emmanuel, God with us. That was Jesus Christ. He was born in Bethlehem in that manger. He grew up. He did walk on water. He did heal the sick. He did raise the dead. And he did reach his hands out voluntarily. He said, I lay my life down voluntarily. No man takes it. I give it up willfully. And he said, but it will raise again on the third day. He rose from that grave. And the scripture says in Romans that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe that God has raised him from the dead, ye shall be saved. And Jesus said, I am the way, I'm the truth and the life, and no man will get to the Father except through me. And he is the only way. I'm telling you, he is the only way through to get through heaven's door today. And if you don't know Jesus Christ, you need to ask him into your heart. You need to believe that God has raised him from the dead. Follow the scriptures. Do what these wise men did and follow the scriptures and understand that your eternal life is on the line. If you don't believe in Jesus Christ, I want to pray with you today if you want to receive him. If you feel the Holy Ghost pulling on you, if you know the tugging on your heart, your blood pressure's getting up, maybe the tingling in your spirit, the back of your neck. Oh man, your heart rate's getting up a little bit. That's the Holy Spirit talking to you, telling you that Jesus is the way. You need to ask him into your heart. Dear Jesus, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. And I know that I need a Savior, and I believe the words that this preacher has told me today. I ask you to come into my heart. I believe in you. I believe that God has raised you from the dead. I make you my Lord and Savior. Please save me today. Forgive me of my sins. And let me walk with you from this day forward. Come in and take over my life. Teach me and lead me and guide me. Let me follow your words and not my own. In the name of Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Amen. Friends, if you prayed that prayer, I want to tell you that all heaven is rejoicing. Gabriel was singing those praises again with those heavenly hosts that one more person has come to Jesus Christ. Oh, just tell somebody about it. Let somebody know. Give your testimony to somebody. Find yourself a church. Get into a church with good Bible-believing people. Surround yourself with good Christian folks and begin to read the Word and find out just how important Jesus Christ is to you. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next one.